Like to continue this series that we've been doing, saying over the Torah from Rabbi Ephraim Portnoy when he was in the shul over a decade ago. We'll pick it up from where we did last week. We were approaching Tisha B'Av and Shabbos Nachmu. Now we're after Shabbos Nachmu. We're approaching Tu B'Av. So it's brought down the Gemara then Tu B'Av. There was no bigger Yom Tovim for the Klal Yisrael like Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. The biggest Yom Tov after Yom Kippur is Tu B'Av. We don't make such a big deal about it, seemingly, but we have to realize this is one of the biggest Yom Tovim. It's a little bit of Chazorah from last week. We spoke about the connection between Tisha B'Av and Shabbos Nachmu, and Chazal bring down many reasons why we keep Tu B'Av. But what's so special about Tu B'Av? Some of the reasons are connected to Tisha B'Av. For example, one of the reasons that Tisha B'Av was that the day when Beitar was destroyed. So that happened on Tisha B'Av. And on Tu B'Av, that was the day that the Haruge Beitar, the victims, were allowed to be buried. They were left out. The Romans didn't let them be buried for a couple of years. But then after a few years on Tu B'Av, that's when they were allowed to be buried. So that's a connection between Tisha B'Av and Tu B'Av. Another reason for Tu B'Av was that the first Tisha B'Av was the Meraglim. Right? After that first Tisha B'Av, that's when the Gezeirah on Klal Yisrael was after they came out of Mitzrayim, they couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. So after 40 years, they were all being nifter, until that entire generation died out. The day when they stopped dying out, that generation was Tu B'Av. So after Tu B'Av, the year before they came into Eretz Yisrael, from Tu B'Av and onward, no one died. Beitar was one of the big cities in Eretz Yisrael during the times of Bais Sheni. And much after Yerushalayim and the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, the Gemara says that Beitar had 1.2 million people living there. It was a huge city in those times. The Romans came in, they killed out the whole city. It said Beitar Elite today is near the real Beitar. And some cities in Eretz Yisrael are mamish where the old cities were. Beit Shemesh, you have an old city in Beit Shemesh, Ashdod, Tveria, Tzvas. Beitar was close by. The Romans didn't let them bury all the people who were killed there. The fourth bracha that we have in benching, really there are only three, but the fourth, Tovu Meitiv, was actually a bracha on the fact the Romans let us bury the people who were buried in Beitar, who were killed there. It was a big thing for the Klal Yisrael. They were lying there for years. No one's allowed to touch them. Finally, they were allowed to be brought to burial. So that was a very big thing for the Klal Yisrael. And every time we wash and we bench, we remember that chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu happened. He did for us. The fourth bracha in benching is a bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tovu Meitiv, he let us bury them. Why dafka by benching? Could be because in olden days people ate bread more often. So we assume that it's something that happens often. So we should remind ourselves as often as possible about the chesed that Hashem did. The Kabbalah reasons for Tu B'Av are also, right after Yetzias Mitzrayim, you're only allowed to marry within your own Shevet. You weren't allowed to marry outside of the Shevet. And Tu B'Av was right before the generation came into Eretz Yisrael. And Tu B'Av was a time when they were allowed to marry in between the Shvatim. That was a very big simcha. It brought more achdus within Klal Yisrael. It wasn't like 12 separate nations, but now everybody could marry everyone else. There's also the Sefer in Sefer Shoftim. There was a time that Sheva Binyamin was in Cherem. The entire Klal Yisrael put Sheva Binyamin into Cherem. There's a story over there, the Pilegish Begiva, why it happened. There was a war. The whole Klal Yisrael, was a civil war, went to war with Sheva Binyamin, and there were only several hundred men who were left from the entire Shevet. They were in Cherem. No one's allowed to marry with them from you can't marry them. The day that they were allowed back into Klal Yisrael was after the war. Everything was settled. That was Tu B'Av. So Klal Yisrael becomes one nation. There's a story that someone got in a fight with his wife, and she ran back to her parents. It was a crazy story. To make a long story short, she ended up getting killed by a mob in a very gruesome way. And everyone involved in that story was from Sheva Binyamin. So everyone from Klal Yisrael felt that in this Shevet there is a people with horrible midos. Someone gets in a fight with his wife, and this is what happens to her. She goes back to her parents. It can't be someone with such terrible midos like this, right? So that was the Pilegish Begiva. But on Tu B'Av, everyone gets brought back together. Another idea of Tu B'Av, that when Klal Yisrael used to spend the whole summer very, very hot, that's when they would be chopping the wood for the Beis Hamikdash. At this point, the summer starts getting a little bit cooler. So in Eretz Yisrael, there was no point in chopping wood anymore. The wood wouldn't be dry enough, so that's when they would stop doing their work and you had more time for learn. Right, the night started getting longer. In those days, it was an agricultural society, so there was light. You were in the field. The less sunlight means more darkness, more time you have for learning. So there's an inyan of Mishnah Berurah brings us down. There's more time to learn on Tu B'Av since you're not working so much. So that's another reason why it was a simcha and a yomtov for the Klal Yisrael. What we have to understand is why Tu B'Av is a great simcha for Klal Yisrael after Yom Kippur. Chazal says it's the greatest Yom Tov Klal Yisrael has. How is it celebrated? So, according to the two reasons we gave, when everyone in Klal Yisrael was allowed to marry each other, one of the things that Tu B'Av was that this is a time of Shiduchim, that all the not yet married girls would get together, and they would wear borrowed clothing just in case someone couldn't afford their own clothes, they wouldn't be embarrassed, and we would borrow clothing, it was Dafka white clothing, that was the time of the Bochrim, the girls would meet, and they'd make Shiduchim. It makes sense. Because that's a time when everything started, when Klal Yisrael was allowed to marry each other, Shea Ben Yom was allowed to marry, and no one would be embarrassed. But the question again, well, why is this like one of the biggest Yom Tovim in Klal Yisrael? Right? So it's all connected to Tisha B'Av and Shabbos Nachamu. If you look at it from the outside, you see that the 3 weeks were in mourning, and then right after that, you know, this is the way it came out, you know, we have Shabbos Nachamu, came out right after Tisha B'Av, right? Now we have the best Yom Tov ever. It doesn't make sense to have such a transition. So looking at it from the outside, something horrible happens, and then a couple of days later we have Nechama. We spoke about last time that the Khans are realizing that the purpose of every tzar is to come to Nechama. That's the Inyan of Shabbos Nachamu that we just had. That there's no such thing as something that's bad, which is just bad. Everything, something good has to come out of everything, right? And we spoke about HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to keep the Torah. We said over the halacha that you can't tear down a shul, so how could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tore down the base of Migdash? And we gave the Teretz because you're allowed to tear down something or to build up something that's going to be even bigger and better. Again, just reviewing that every person in their life has their own base of Migdash, you know, inside, within themselves. A person has to realize that the whole purpose of the structure in building it up, on the one hand, we're mourning because we lost something, but on the other hand, we understand the whole purpose of it is one nechoma. You know, we gave the Moshe Rabbi Nachman gave someone who used to chop the rocks right from the mountain. He found the diamond and he took it to get appraised. And they said no one around here could really appreciate what it is. Yeah, go to London. There's you know rich people there. They could buy it and appreciate it. The whole story with he goes on the boat and the captain gives him the first class cabin and the whole voyage. The captain's trying to get on his good side. And then they spend time together. He comes to his room. They were schmoozing. He would, this guy who had a diamond would leave it out on the table because he liked it, made him happy. And one day he fell asleep and the waiter didn't realize. He picks up the tablecloth, throws the whole thing overboard and clears the table. And when he woke up, he realized what happened. He says, if I tell the captain that my diamond got thrown overboard, he's not going to be so nice to me. It's going to be big trouble. So I'm just keep my mouth shut, pretend nothing happened. That's what he did. The captain used to come visit him and they were very friendly until he finally made it to the big city of London. And then, again, I'm just quickly chazering over it. The captain tells him, I'm not really who you think I am. I'm really a pirate. And my name is not well known, or it's not my reputation is not very good around here. So if I come to London with everything in my name, I'm going to get in trouble. They're going to arrest me and take the whole thing. So I'm going to put the whole ship in your name, and that way I won't get into trouble. Again, he signs the whole thing over, the whole boatload, and they're getting off the ship. The captain trips, and he falls, and he dies. Now the entire ship belongs to this guy, which is worth hundreds and hundreds of times the amount than that little diamond. So the takeaway, Reb Nachman used to say the diamond didn't really belong with him, and the proof was that by the end of the story it didn't stay with him. But the ship was always his, and the proof was that by the end of the story it was left with him. The only reason he was able to keep it was because he remained strong, didn't show that he lost the diamond, didn't give in to Yeish. Okay, so now just to connect that, we spoke about last time that everyone has to realize whenever we lose something in our life, the purpose of that loss is to prepare us for something much bigger, much greater. But the only way you can get to it is if you don't pay too much attention to the loss. We realize we lost the base of Mingdash and we have a Velis for it. But we need to realize the point of it is to prepare us for something much greater. It wasn't ours. What is ours is what we're going to be left with at the end of the story. That's the Inyan of Shabbos. Shabbos Nachla coming right after Tisha B'Av. A Nechama right after Tisha B'Av. The Nechama is connected to that. And we go into Tisha B'Av, and we're going into a mourning because we know that we caused it. The keynotes discuss all the tsaros that happened to Klal Yisrael, and you know, at one point it says, like Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, says, it's very nice to talk about all the things that happened to Klal Yisrael, right? But you're leaving out all the horrible things that Klal Yisrael did to deserve it, right? So we caused our own destruction, and every person individually has to realize that he caused his own destruction. But the fact he's having destruction now, it's not a punishment. It's that Hashem realized it wasn't working this way. He had to prepare for something bigger and better to fix it. It's not like it's totally sick and you have to take something away to amputate. But you have to take in order to give something new. You have to like remove the old to give something new in that place. We have to believe that a new Beis Hamikdash is coming. A new Binyan is going to come. So Tu B'Av is also part of that Nechama. Shabbos Nachamu and Tu B'Av, and now the next 6 weeks after Shabbos Nachamu until Rosh Hashanah, that's the Shebet Nechemta, right? The 6 weeks of Nechama, of consolation. The seven Haftorahs that we have are all talking about Nechama of Klal Yisrael. We had 3 weeks of Tzara, and now seven of Nechama. Reb Nosson says that for every spoonful of Musar you give somebody, you have to give him a bowlful of Chizuk. A bowl full of encouragement. That means if you give 3 weeks of Musar to Klal Yisrael, so you need 7 weeks of Nechama for Klal Yisrael, right? Don't worry, you know, even there was a tsar, but there's going to be a Nechama. And all these aspects of Tu B'Av are also aspects of Nechama in Geula, which is all really preparing us for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Right? With the Nechama and the Chizik that we have, well, we can do Tshuva. Once we realize that there is a Churban and there is a Geula, now I can do Tshuva. So all this is a preparation. The connection of all these details and all these different reasons of Klal Yisrael all connecting with different types of nechamas of serving Hashem. You know, for the example, that Indian, the people, the girls, they had to borrow from someone else the clothing. And it had to be white. Right? And the idea that the Shvatim will now be able to marry each other. They can marry Shevet Binyamin, right? Every Shevet has its own nusach of serving Hashem. Every person has their own way of serving Hashem, which is different from now, someone else. Everyone has their own shorsh according to his shevet. So you'd think that each person is going to be, you know, totally by himself. Every shevet, they're totally by themselves. The nechama of Klal Yisrael is when everyone shares with each other. The achdus of Klal Yisrael is when everyone can share each other's nekudos, the points which everyone else has. That's the inyan of everyone borrowing from someone another, not to embarrass someone who doesn't have. We share our nekudos with each other, not just to appreciate each other's nekudos. Rabbi Nachman used to say that the person feels he needs to work on something in his mind. He has ideas about how to start to work on it, but doesn't feel it. So how can he bring himself to start feeling it? So one of the eitzes, one of the pieces of advice he gives, a person should speak about it with other people. When we speak with other people about whatever you feel like you have to work on, he says like it bounces off them and back to you. Meaning, my friend has something I don't have. He has a nakuda that I don't have. He has a chizik which I don't have. But when I speak to him, I can get from him because it bounces off of him differently. You see how he reacts to it, how he hears it. Not that I talk to myself. I talk to my friend. Even if my friend doesn't really say anything, but my talking to him, I can receive from him. Rabbi Nachman says, even if I don't hear a word from him, because I'm not coming to teach him. I'm coming to teach myself. The way I teach myself is by speaking to my friend. It's a very deep idea. It's an interesting way of looking at it. In Breslov, there's a very big emphasis on sichos chaverim, of speaking to your friends about serving Hashem. Why? The main aspect is not to go around teaching my friends. The aspect is to go around learning from my friends. And one of the ways I learn from my friends is if my friends will speak to me. Even my friends aren't capable of speaking to me, but I'm capable of seeing the reactions when I speak and when I hear from them. So the Indian of borrowing from everybody, and everyone can borrow from everyone else, even they don't have, in order that they shouldn't, the one who doesn't have shouldn't be embarrassed. Doesn't make a difference they're an ani. Doesn't make a difference what they have. Reb Levi Yitzchak of Bedichev, Kedushas Levi, says that's the Indian of white. Why do they have to borrow white clothing? Because when you put all the colors of the rainbow together, you get a white light. all the colors of the rainbow of Klal Yisrael come and bring to a place of white. And Tu B'Av is a special time for everyone of Klal Yisrael to come together. It's a special time of Achdus of Klal Yisrael. Even someone by himself feels he's missing this Nakuda or that Nakuda or that Nakuda, but he knows his friends have it. So he doesn't feel embarrassed he doesn't have it. He can go to his friends and I can get those Nakudos from my Chaveirim. A friend was talking about his yeshiva. His yeshiva was like a chont. It had every type in it, right? Telling him about another yeshiva, they used to say it's a bag full of nuts. So he said, you have a bag full of nuts, pistachios, almonds, everything just stays the way it is. In a chont, though, the potatoes get the flavor from the beans, get the flavors from the meat. They all share the flavors together. The kishka, everything comes together. That's how we have to be. Shimshon Pinchas used to say that we have to be able to borrow from everyone without losing our own identity. A lot of people are afraid to borrow from other people. They say, listen, that's not the way I was raised. That's not the way I'm used to. Therefore, they're afraid to take what the friends might have to offer. A person has to realize other people lose their identity totally because they're always too busy taking from everyone else. A person has to be able to be an individual and to be able to borrow from other people and to see the good in his friends and see the good in his friends and try to adapt whatever he can and at the same time develop his own nakuda so that his friends should also have what to take from him. Right, that's the Inyan of Tu B'Av. This Inyan of everyone in Klal Yisrael has their own Hisoros. It's also a time that the sun's heat starts getting a little less. The moon starts getting a little stronger. We know that the moon hints at Klal Yisrael. The sun is the koach of the nations, right? It's constant, right? It's there. This is a time when Klal Yisrael starts getting the chizuk back. Up until now, in the calendar, Klal Yisrael was falling, fell from into Tisha B'Av, but now, starting with Tu B'Av, there's a full moon, right? That's the fullness of the moon is the midpoint in the month. It's a time when Klal Yisrael is full. Every month has a full moon on the 15th, but now it's right after Tisha B'Av. Rosh Hashanah is the time when the world was created. So if you start counting the days, the last day of the year was the day when Adam HaRishon was created. So you make a cheshbon, it comes out, what was the first day of Bria Sa'olam? The first day would be Chaf He Elul, right? 25th of Elul was Yom HaRishon, Vayhi Or was on Chaf He Elul. So 40 days before that, Chaf He Elul, that's Tu B'Av. So, right? Like Tu B'Shvat is 40 days before Chaf He Adar, which is part of the world was created in a certain sense in Nisan, and in a certain sense was created in Tishrei. That's Machshava and Mais, the Rebbeinu Tam over there, Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Okay, not for now, but Tu B'Shvat and Tu B'Av are the 40-day parallels. Tu B'Shvat, 40 days before Nisan, and Tu B'Av, 40 days before Tishrei. Right? So it's brought down that before the 40 days before a child's born, they announce, Bas Ploni Laploni, who the Shidduch is going to be. So it makes sense now in Tu B'Av, the 40 days of Shidduchim, 40 days before the world was created. Right? What does it mean the world was created? The world was created for Klal Yisrael. Right? So who's Klal Yisrael's Chosen? Klal Yisrael's the Kala. Who's the Chosen? It's Hashem. So 40 days before it was announced, Klal Yisrael will be the Shidduch for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the time when we put more energy into Torah. Today we have electronic devices and appliances. We don't work on the schedule of the sun and the moon and the stars. But still, it's a time, there's a segula for people to spend more time learning Torah, starting with Tu B'Av. There's a special siyata d'shmaya. We could put ourselves a yegiya and invest in focus and delve into learning Torah. Another aspect of Tu B'Av, when you look in the Siddur by Musaf, for Rosh Chodesh, it says Baruch Atah Hashem. There's a list of all the months, and there's different ways of spelling out Yud Kei Vav Kei. The reason, right, the Arizal brings down, you say the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, depending on which month, so there's a different order, or there's different Nekudas, okay, depending on the month, you can learn the concept according to that. So if you look at Chodesh Av, the way you write Yud Kei Vav Kei for Chodesh Av is Hey, and then a Vav, a Yud, and then another Hey. So the first half, right, is the Hey Vav is actually backwards, right? That's because that's the last two letters of Hashem's name backwards, right? The K and the Vav. And the second half is the first two letters of Hashem's name forward, Yud K. So one way of possibly understanding what the Arizal meant is to say that the first half of the month, that's everything is Shloka Seder. You know, it's not an order. Everything's backwards. Everything's backwards. Aye, but the second half of the month, starting from Tu B'Av, that's Yud K. Everything's in Seder now. Everything's going forward. So we see that Tu B'Av is a special time to take something in the first half of the month, right? It was hard, right? And we're starting new. So Tisha B'Av is a hard time for Klal Yisrael. But starting now, a time when everything starts rolling, a time when you start putting yourself into serving Hashem. And the Pasuk says, Ma Hashem L'kech HaShol Meimach. Right? What is Hashem asking for you? Just fear Him, right? Right? The says, Rabbi say like this, Ma Hashem Shol Meimach. What's Hashem asking you? Ma. Ma is 45. In the 45 days between Tu B'Av and Rosh Hashanah, what is Hashem asking you? All Hashem is asking us is for 45 days. Like, you know, beat the El Rosh. You know, start doing tshuva early. Right? It's brought down from Tzadikim that now's the time. You know, you have the Nesiva Shalom has like this and others, right? A person wants to start even earlier. He wants to start today. It's also brought down, right? You know, Im Aryeh, right? If an Aryeh will scream, who's not going to be afraid? So it's Aryeh, Aleph, Reish, Yud, Hey, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah is the Reish, the Yud is Yom Kippur, the Hey is Hoshana Rabbah, the Aleph is Elul. Person wants to be ready, you know, you can scream out. But, you know, if you have me, who won't be afraid? With you, you won't have to be afraid. So me is Nun, right? Gematria 50. The Mem is 40. The Yud is 10. There are 50 days between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah. 50 days to prepare yourself. It's very important. I mean, Nachman used to say that a lot of people, if they can't do a program of mitzvahs, then they can't do a mitzvah at all. It's not true. Whatever you can do, if you can't do a perfect mitzvah, do a half perfect mitzvah, a quarter perfect mitzvah, do something, right? Abyssal is oich good, right? A little bit is also very good. The main thing to bring out is that this time of Tu B'Av is a very opportune time. There's a lot of koach, there's a lot of segula energy into Tu B'Av. It's a time to start preparing ourselves for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, for Elul. We can use the energy of that time. The koach being able to add to learning, the koach of Achdus of Klal Yisrael, the koach of Klal Yisrael is full of Amunah. Hashem should help us be able to use these kochos and put ourselves into it. The main way you get is by talking to Hashem about it. It's very hard to think about, but to daven to Hashem, you should be able to use whatever kochos Tu B'Av has. It's a hard yomta because there's you know nothing like special going on. There's no seuda you have. You know you on Tu B'Shvat you have some fruits. Okay, there's nothing going on. It's you know it's just Tu B'Av, so it makes it harder to hold on to. But the more we think about it, the more we daven for it, we could get special kochos and try especially making you know some sort of kabbalah to learn a little more at night, making some sort of kabbalah, being more ba'achdus with our friends, trying to learn from our friends, right? You know, the achdus and the shidduchim and everything, Hashem should help us that we should use this Tu B'Av properly.